All right. Well, hey, how you doing this morning? Come on. How was your Thanksgiving out there? Happy Thanksgiving to you. Okay, I know that I'm throwing some of you like something's off right now. Did we move the clocks and you missed it? Okay, something's going wrong here. We usually have a little more music before we lean up to this here. But hey, we're going to switch things up around here because we love change. I know what most of you are thinking. Who's we? Come on, somebody. Well, hey, happy Thanksgiving. I am just so excited to be with you today. So excited that you're here. I hope and pray that you had an awesome, over-the-top weekend, and you're enjoying yourself, and you're enjoying this time of year. It's such a great, great time of year here. And you know, it's called Thanksgiving, not thanks-thinking, not thanks-eating, not thanks-napping, but it's the time of year that we're to give something. We're to give thanks. That's why we're here. We're gonna give thanks. You know, and that's really what we want to communicate with you here. See, the choices that we make here will determine the person that we become. What would happen if we all here just said, you know what? I'm gonna be more thankful. I mean, that's not typically something we all think about. But really, that's really what I want to communicate with you today is just about how to be more thankful. So we do this all the time here, and I hear many of you caught on to this. And when I say, how you doing, what do you say? How you doing?
Better than I deserve.
Better than I deserve. That's right. How we doing better than I deserve? Because mercy, I didn't get what I truly deserved. Come on. And grace is I receive what I don't deserve, a relationship with God. So at the end of the day, we're all doing... Right, there we go. I'm doing better than we all deserve, and I'm doing better than I deserve. And that's what Thanksgiving is really truly all about, isn't it? And it's an attitude. It's a mindset here. So here's the big idea today. Here's the big idea. Practicing Thanksgiving is the key to rest and peace. How many of y'all could use a little more rest and peace? Okay? I didn't say rest in peace. I said rest and peace, just for the record. Okay, how about recentering of our lives? I need to recenter my life. I do regularly. I need to do that. And how about restoration and renewing? Anybody with me? We could do a little bit of all those things here. And so what I want to do is I want to go to Psalm 95, and we're going to go through the whole psalm today, and then we're going to give you a little extra. Okay, how many of y'all excited about that? Come on, I'm just really, really excited. I mean, the psalm, like all of the psalms, plural, it's the biggest book there. It's in the Old Testament, and it's all about praising God. And I just love these. I've been just getting lost in them again, just over and over, reading different ones. And so here we're going to jump into Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. What are we going to do? There we go. Let us shout joyfully. What are we going to do?
Shout joyfully.
There we go. Now, that's for some sing and some who maybe don't have a good voice. They just shout joyfully. Come on, somebody. There we go. Come, we got you covered. Don't tell me you can't sing. Come on. Everybody can shout joyfully. Okay? Come on. And so we're going to shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with
thanksgiving.
And let us sing psalms of praise to him. So this is just packed here. When we get together, we're going to sing and we're going to shout. We're not just going to shout, we're going to shout joyfully here. And we're going to give thanksgiving. So what's this word thanksgiving? It's adoration. It's praise. Come on, it's derived from a word, a Hebrew word. And there's all these Hebrew words. There's halal and ruah and yada, and it comes from a word to lift up your hands and to extend one's hands in thanks to him. So when you look around and there's people singing and they lift up their hands, it's an extension of hands to say thanks God. It's recognizing God. All things come from him. Okay? And that's just so important to us. We like to raise our hands. We like to shout joyfully. We like to give him praise and adoration. This is what it's all about here. We cry out to him. Like at some point, you got to put your praise on. Come on.
Amen.
Y'all with me? You got to make a choice. I'm going to put praise on. This is what I'm going to do. Every now and then I have to tell my soul, hey, this is what we're going to do today. This is what we're going to do. Y'all with me? Verse 3, for the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. You know what this is telling me? God's in control. No, this is telling me Washington's not in control. God's in control. No, this is telling me there's always crazy things happening in the world, but God's in control. Come on, come on. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth that he made. I'm in God's hands. This reminds me, sometimes I have to remind myself, whose hands am I truly in here? Then verse 6, come, let us worship and bow down. Worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Oh, this is when it starts getting good here. Oh, not only are we going to sing and we're going to shout and we're going to lift our hands and thanks to God, right? Because he owns it all. It's his, right? But I'm going to kneel down. And there's three words used here. There's three words in this text here. And the three words are this. Let us worship. That word, first word for worship means let us prostrate ourselves. It's the highest act of adoration by which the supremacy of God is acknowledged. So the first word for worship there is like literally, I'm going to go face down on the floor and I'm just going to lay down before God. That's the first word, worship. It means I'm just going to prostrate myself before God. I'm just going to put myself down before God here. And then the next Hebrew word there that's so important here is bow down. Now, this means I'm going to crouch down. And it's similar. The only thing I could use here, it's as if a dog is crouched down waiting for direction from its master. That doesn't mean a dog sleeping on its side. That means a dog that's crouched down. So I'm going to kneel. I'm going to worship, which means I'm going to lay down. And then I'm going to crouch down waiting for what God's going to say. I'm going to wait till he says something to me, okay? And then I'm going to kneel. I'm going to put my knees. This is what kneel means. It means I'm going to kneel, put my knees to the ground. And when I put my knees to the ground, that's a very vulnerable state. It's one of the most vulnerable places you could be right here. Am I right? I'm defenseless mostly, right, when I'm like with my hands up and my knees are down. But I'm vulnerable before God. This is what this psalm is saying. Yeah, we're going to sing. We shout. We lift our hands. We do it joyfully. We praise. But you know what? There's also a time to worship. Just get down. And there's a time when, come on, when I'm just crouched down waiting for God to give me direction. That's the other Hebrew word there. So important here. And then kneel. This is it. Thanksgiving. See, practicing Thanksgiving gives me rest and peace. It recenters my life. It gives me renewal and restoration. But this is what it does. It resets me. It recenters me. It renews me. So we, as believers in Christ, we know not just what we're worshiping. We know who we're worshiping. See, it's about who, not a what. That's what's so important here. And that's what's so exciting here. Verse 7, for he is our God, we are the people he watches over. Do you know that we as children of God, if you're a child of God, you've got bragging rights. You could go to work, and if you know people who are far from God, you can say, I'm not messing with you, but God's watching over me. No, if we're his sheep and he's our shepherd, isn't that a relationship? He's watching over me. And I know there's many people here today. You're going through tough times. You're going through something in your life. And you feel like God's forgotten you. You feel like God's far away. I want to tell you, I want to remind you today, God is not far away. He hasn't forgotten. He's watching over you. He's watching over. That's what this is communicating here in verse 7. The flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. Verse 8. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness. Now, there's two words here The psalmist is reminding, he's saying, hey, listen to God. Know you're under his care. Don't do what they did in Exodus chapter 17, which is a book in the Bible in the Old Testament. It was recorded that God's people were complaining and grumbling. Now, I know you don't, but I know you might know somebody who does. But this is what they were saying in Exodus 17. Catch this. What they were saying was, is the Lord here with us or not? We all of us, listen to me, all of us question every now and then, is God with us or not? Am I right? I have. All of us question. There's a point in time when we're, is God really here? Is he really watching? Does he really know or not? And we get caught in complaining. We get caught in grumbling. We get caught in those things. Am I right? Yeah. You know, I think of myself as a pretty optimistic person. Okay, my wife always reminds me that a loud voice in the morning is not a good thing. Okay? And just the way I like it, okay? And every now and then I get caught up in and maybe grumbling a little bit and whining. And then somebody will always say, do you want a little cheese with that wine? I'm like, I'm not drinking wine. Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah, because we're whining, we're grumbling. Come on, remember you're going down the road and you just kind of lose your mind, you're singing a song, and you're lost, or maybe you're talking. Okay, and then you hit the rumble strips. What's that a sign? Get back on the road. You're not paying attention. And what those rumble strips really are, what we need in our life is grumble strips. We need grumble strips because when we go off course and go, I don't like this and I don't like that and I don't like this and I don't like Pastor Rick switching up the order of service like the way he did. Just messed with everything. And like, that's a sign to get back on the road. Right? It's raining on a Sunday. Come on. Every time we start grumbling, I wish we had rumble strips. Grumble strips and rumble strips in our life that says, get back on the road. Because we need them because we grumble. Am I right? We do. We just naturally grumble. We naturally do these things. Come on. Verse 9, for there your ancestors tested and they tried my patience. So when we grumble and we complain and we test God, we try his patience. Listen, I don't think it's a good idea to test God's patience. Just a thought. Anybody with me? Okay, that's just the way I think there. For even though they saw everything I did, for 40 years I was angry. They were a people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. They will never enter my place of rest. That's verse 11 there. Rest is a place of stillness, peace, refreshing. What kept them from rest? Complaining and testing God. And I believe many of us need rest. We do not need another Netflix series. We do not need more social media. I'm very convinced if that's an issue in your life, if you would just go without it, you would find so much more rest and peace on your life. I'm serious. You would. Come on, it just messes with our mind. It messes with our rest. It messes with our peace. Come on. I mean, a couple weeks ago with the elections going on, the sky is falling. The world's ending, right? And then, to top it off, the Steelers aren't doing well. I mean, you turn on sports talk, usually to escape from all the other stuff, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's going in. I mean, by the end of the elections and the Steelers not doing well, I was like, Jesus, take us. Please, God, you're our only hope. No, I just had to turn it all off. I did. This is what I had to do. I had to turn it all off because it was messing with my brain and we're missing out on rest. Practicing thanksgiving is a key to true rest and stillness. Let me go to another psalm here. Another psalm. Psalm 34. So the first thing we got to do is we're going to praise God. We're going to shout. We're going to raise our hands. We're going to kneel down. We're going to honor him. Because it's all about him. It's a reminder of who's in charge. Are you with me? And so here, Psalm 34, here it is. Ha, let's read this together out loud. Because when the Bible says, oh, magnify, you don't say, oh, magnify. You got to read it with. Can you help me? Here we go. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So together, we're going to magnify the Lord. We're going to make him great. And this is what recenters our life. Do you know what we all have in our lives? We all have a magnifying glass. We all got one. We can run around and say, I'm going to find something good and magnify it. Or we can walk around saying, I know there's a problem and I'm going to find it. The reason more people don't have more thanksgiving in their lives is because they're looking for everything that's wrong. And when they find any little thing, they got to use the magnifying glass and make it bigger. And what happens in our lives, the difference of this magnifying glass, are you going to magnify the Lord together with me? Let's make him greater. Or are we going to magnify all the things we don't have? Right? Come on. Come on. If you look long enough on Facebook, you're going to find somebody else made a turkey that looks better than yours. And you're going, I can't wait till next year. I need a redo. Yeah. But if you magnify every little thing and make it great, I'm going to make God great, and I'm going to go around and find good stuff. See, I'm serious. We got to find the good stuff. It depends on what we magnify here. So this is what I want you to do this week. This is what I want y'all to do. I'm going to get to it right now. I want you every day at dinner time to talk about all the great stuff. I want you to magnify the great stuff in your life. I always want you to talk positively. I want you just to find something you can thank God for. Because we're not only supposed to do that every Thanksgiving. You know, you go around the table, everybody shares what they're thankful. I'm thankful for my family. Right? That's what we all say, because they're here. I'm thankful I don't live with them anymore. I don't know what you're thankful for. I don't know. I'm messing with you. But we do. It's not meant to be once a year. I want you every day this week to just talk about. And you say, well, I eat dinner by myself. Then talk to yourself. Say, but I might be at a restaurant. Do it anyhow. I get caught talking to myself all the time. People look at me, are you okay? I'm great. But we're going to magnify the Lord. And we're going to look for things that are going right. And we're going to make him better, because this re-centers our lives here. We all worship something. Worship is worth-ship. It's ascribing worth to what we're worshiping. So when we say God is great and magnify the Lord, mighty warrior, and I'm going to worship him, it's saying God's worth it. And by my expressions, I'm going to say God's worth it. I'm going to ascribe something to that. When my wife came home the other day, she got her hair cut, I didn't say, oh, what'd you do? Come on. Oh, I loved it. I said, oh, you look great. You look good. I started worshiping her in a good way. And I'm being honest. Adoration. Cherish, nurture. That's a good thing, right? Like last week, we had a men's meeting, and it was amazing. We were watching the Steelers, and every good play, you were just, and then it came time to worship, and I'm like, I got you now. And I was listening. But you know what? Those men of God that gathered together were worshiping and honoring God. That's what kind of church you go to. I never once had to get up and say, I heard you before. No, because the men of God of this church are strong, and they're mighty, and they're not afraid to worship and honor God. That's what kind of men are at Bridge City Church. It'll honor God. So whatever I worship becomes my obsession. Whatever I obsess with, I imitate. Whatever I imitate, I become. So I'm going to magnify God so I become more like Him. Is that good? So here's a quote by Pastor Jack Hayford. Worship changes the one worshiping into the image of the one or the thing worshiped. So I want to be changed into God, so I want to worship Him. This is why so many people begin to look like their dogs. Because they worship their dogs. And then they begin to look like, have you met anybody who looks like their dog? I have. I go, oh my Lord, I got to look away. I just like, I go. Because, I mean, in our country, people worship dogs now. I'm serious. They do. And they begin to look like their dog. It's like, who wants to look like a dog? I'm just trying to help you today. Is this helping you today? I don't know where you and dogs is right now. I'm just trying to help you. Come on, I want to imitate God. I want to worship Him. See, this is the question people always ask. Why do bad things happen to good people? But I never hear people say, why do good things happen to ordinary people? Why is something good happening to me? Why do I get to live in one of the best countries on the planet? Why didn't I get put in Liberia where they have nothing? Where if you make $300 a month, you're rich. And gas is like $8 a gallon. Or Haiti, where it's 20-some or more than that now. And why is God so good to me? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to magnify Him and make Him great. Study after study. Indiana University did this study. They took three groups of people. And there's all these studies. I mean, I got lost in them the other day, just looking at them all. People who were grateful, they took three groups. One group, every day, every week, they had to write a letter of thanks to somebody and gratitude. The next one recorded all their problems and agitations once a week. The next one did nothing. Everyone studied like this. The first group that recorded and was grateful, even their MRIs and their brains changed and had more activity. Another one by Harvard. Another one. They took three groups of people. One, you record everything that you're grateful for, all the good stuff. Then another group, you record all the agitations and problems. Another group, you don't have to do anything. First group, over time, over months, required less doctor visits, required less counseling, required less things. They were healthier, even physically, because they were focused on the right things. They were magnifying the good things. They were magnifying. So I just said this week, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start looking at everybody around me that they have good intentions towards me. Every now and then, I need to do this. I've shared this before. I need to do it. And I did. So this is what happened. Somebody pulled out in front of me, and they slowed down. My second thought, not the first one. Maybe they're learning to drive. Maybe they got scared and pulled out. And then they got scared and it was on fast road. Maybe they slowed down. Changed my mindset towards them. It really did. Next person was behind me. They're those people that drive way too close to your car? Okay, they're just driving and they're like, and I don't know about you, it makes me want to slow down, but I didn't, okay? This is freeing today. I'm feeling so free today. Worship's going to be really good in a couple minutes. I'm telling you something. That's going to be so good. But listen, I just thought to myself, hey, maybe they got up late, or maybe they just got bad news from the hospital. Maybe they're in a hurry to get somewhere. It didn't change them, but it changed me. So I just started everything that's been around me today in the last couple days, and I've just been saying, that's good intentions towards me. It's good intentions toward me. It's good intentions to me. God has good intentions towards me. Why don't I get to do this? Why don't I have this? Why don't I? No, God has good intentions to me. I'm under his care. He's been good to me. God is great. This will change you every day this week. I want you every day, every dinner time, I want you to talk about the positive things in your life. I want you to magnify the Lord with me. Because practicing thanksgiving gives us true rest. It stills my soul. It recenters my life. That's what it does. And this last one, before I get there, I'm going to go in there in a minute, but you've heard me share before. I'm going to help you. Some of this is new to you. We all get frustrated. How many here ever gets frustrated? I do. But choose to say this. Every time you're frustrated, don't say you're frustrated. Choose to be fascinated. There are still times my wife looks at me and she says, you fascinate me so much. Isn't that so nice? I say, thank you. So don't choose, like you got to choose, am I going to be frustrated or fascinated? So even with your spouse this week, or with that person sitting next to you, whoever they are, you might just want to look at him right now and say, I'm so fascinated. But isn't that a nicer way to do it? You fascinate me. I'm telling you, you fascinate me. I choose to be. Okay, is this helping you today? Okay, hey, last thing I want to share with you today. Practicing thanksgiving not only gives us rest and peace, recenters my life, but I'm going to tell you what else it does. It restores me and renews me. Luke 17. Here we go. Jesus, as Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, this is in the New Testament, this is about Jesus here. He reached the border between Galilee and Samaria, and as he entered a village there, 10 men, how many men? 10 men with leprosy. That's a really bad disease. They're not allowed around any other people. I'm just going to leave it at that. They stood at a distance because they weren't allowed to come close. And they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when it says they cried out, they cried out. It does not mean they put a post on Facebook with all caps. No, they cried out, Jesus, have mercy on us. Okay? He looked at them. Jesus looked and said, go show yourself to the priest. As they went. Everybody say, as they went. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back. And he said, praise God. That's what he said there. Wow. Verse 16. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. He cried out, hey, Jesus, thank you. Did you remember that from Psalm? And then he came and he kneeled down. Are you tracking me? And Jesus said, hey, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned? Has nobody returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Wait a minute, wasn't he already healed? He already got touched as he went. Many times God doesn't give us what we want right in the moment, but he gives it to us as we go and obey him. We get healed. And many of us don't have rest. We don't have a recentered life because we're not doing what he's asked us to do. So as he went, and so one of the guys comes back and he's like, he kneels down and he shouts and he's like, oh, man, Jesus, this is great. Thank you. So see, See, they were Samaritans. They were all far away from God. And they didn't deserve it on their own, but because of God's mercy and his grace, they began to do better than they all deserved. 10 of them got healed, but only one got saved. The word's different. The words are different in 17 and 18 here. The words are different, or 19, excuse me. It's saved. It's sozo. It's whole. And many of us, we get something from God, and we just grab it, and we're pure, we're holy, because that's what his word does, right? But we never get saved, we never get salvation, we never get everything we can get from God, because we stop short of kneeling down and experiencing him and getting made whole. Aren't we all longing just to be made whole? Beyond our circumstance, beyond what other people say, beyond what Christmas is going to be or not be or whatever Thanksgiving may or may not. Listen, I just want to be made whole with God. Are you with me today? So it's like, besides every day, I want you, every day, I want you to be thankful to God for something. I want you to find something to thank God for. How many of y'all can do that every day this week? Just be grateful. We're going to give thanksgiving. We're going to brag on God. We're going to look at people and say good intentions. This is what else I want you to do. On your way out today, when you leave here, in about 40, 45 minutes from now, you're going to leave here. Some of you are going to leave here. And they're going to give you some invitations. Our whole December series is all about reminding us. It's do you hear what I hear? Many people in our lives, they don't know that they're lost, but they do know they're hurting. They're hurting. All right? I want you to do everything you can to invite them, all the whole month of December. I want you to invite them, because this is all going to be, do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? And it's a child. It's Jesus. So you do everything you can. You're going to get these invites. How many of y'all, I want you to pray for people. I want you to bake them cookies. I want you to take cookies to all your neighbors. And if you don't have any neighbors, bring them to me. I'm just kidding. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Let's make this Christmas more than just about us. Will you stand to your feet with me? And then we're going to have a great candlelight time. And also we're going to have two times on December 23rd, Christmas Eve. We're going to get together. You're going to be inviting all your friends. You're going to invite everybody you know. Everybody you know. Everybody knows they got to go to church at Christmas. Come on. Are you with me? We're going to go find people. So I want to ask you a question. We're going to go back into worship in just a minute here. But I want to ask you a question. Have you been made whole? I didn't say have you received anything from Jesus, because 9 of them got something from Jesus, but one got saved. I want to ask you, he said your faith has made you well. Have you transferred your faith off of you and onto Jesus? That means you transferred trust of my life off of me and completely onto Jesus. That puts you under his care. If you don't have a day, a moment, or a time that you did that, there's a good chance you didn't do it. And I want today to be your day. That's why God put Bridge City Church on the planet for this message I'm sharing with you right now. And if you want today to be your day for Jesus to transfer your faith off of you and onto him so that you can be made whole, a child of God, today is your day. Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, for every person here. Lord God, that our relationship with you would be honorable to you, exalting of you, and magnifying of you in Jesus' name, Lord. And if that's you here today, and you know it's you, and all you want to do is you just like to start a relationship with Jesus, not a religion, but a relationship, and you're not sure you have a day, but you'd like today to be your day, I just want you right now in this moment to just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me right here. That's me. I gotta have today to be my day. Anybody at all here today, don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this day to be your day right now, right here in this moment. Anybody at all, thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Jesus Christ. Let every person here be united with God in that relationship in Jesus' name. Amen. So God, I pray that every Sunday in December, God, we stand before you and we ask you, God, to do a mighty work in this building where people are going to know you in a real and personal way, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Do you agree with that prayer? Do you agree with that prayer?